We're just going to have a real short, brief English message today since we have guests. So we're in the middle of a verse-by-verse study of Epistle of Ephesians. If you like, you can follow along on the internet on a weekly basis. Log on to our website and follow these messages. Right now we're in chapter 4. So let's read these first six verses. You got your Bibles. Paul says, "I, the prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ, I beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Because there is one body, there is one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. There is one Lord, there is one faith, there is one baptism, and there is one God and Father of all, who is above all, who is through all, and who is in you all." Paul's calling us to walk worthily, and it begins with a mental and a heart attitude that is correct, that is proper. Lowliness, gentleness reflects the attitude of the heart and the mind of Jesus Christ, and those are things that govern how we think. Paul goes on, and we've spent many Sundays on these verses, but Paul goes on and says our attitude of our mind and the attitude of our heart is expressed in our patience and our love towards one another. Now, these are things that we not only think about, but these are our actions. This is the verb of our life, of our Christian life. And then Paul goes on and he talks about the unity of the church that we began to talk about last time. And what's interesting about the unity of the church, there's a lot of interest right now. There's a lot of books that have been written recently about what numbers in the Bible mean. You may have read some books about 666 or about the number 40 or about some other numbers. The most important number when it comes to the church is one. The church is one. Our God is one. Our salvation is one. Our hope is one. The Spirit of God is one. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. The unity of the church is the characteristic of the church that the world sees. That's when they look at us. That's what they're supposed to see. And all of these characteristics are expressed, Paul tells us here, in love. When we read 1 Corinthians chapter 13, Paul tells us to pursue love. And that is how we demonstrate all of these Christian characteristics in our daily walk with Jesus Christ, so that when the world looks at us, what they see is the agape love of God demonstrated in our life. We'll spend a lot of time here in the next couple of weeks looking at all of these words of unity. But what's interesting is both of these verses, or actually all three of these verses, verse 4, 5, and 6, describe various characteristics of the church and how we walk. But this is one sentence that's talking about one united church. And each one of these characteristics described in one sentence in the Greek language that Paul was writing in is described grammatically in the singular tense. It does not say there are many bodies and many churches and many lords and many faiths and many baptisms, but it says there is one. Every characteristic of the church points back to the unity of the church. Jesus promised that he would build his church. And no power on earth, no power in hell could stop it. It's power. And the church began on the day of Pentecost, and the church exists 21 centuries later, even in the wonderful city of Hollywood, in Sacramento, for those of you that come from Sacramento. God started his church. God is building his church. And the number one characteristic of the church is its unity. And my prayer today that you go home, and as you're driving home, and this week would be thinking about the unity, and that is supposed to be our primary characteristic and demonstration of our life in Jesus Christ. Come on.